From God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus had appeared to the disciples on the Emmaus Road for some time before he recognized them, and therefore it seems that there was, by their own testimony, a much greater and more initial impact on their heart than it was when the resurrected Lord in his resurrection glory, in his resurrected flesh, filled their eyes so long there on the Emmaus Road. And before our eyes can rejoice in the sight of the Lord, you see, our hearts must first be won over. They must burn with love that he came to give us so that our eyes can be filled with joy when they are filled with the sight of the Lord. Why is that? Because our hearts are cold. Our hearts are fickle. Our hearts are easily allured away from what is good for us, especially from our good and our loving God. The problem of sin, the problem of embracing lies and wanting lies instead of God's true word, our rejection of God, and even ours and the world's attempt to murder God. And we should make no mistake of it that Good Friday was attempted murder of God, at least on the part of the world. Our hearts need to be won. But as Jesus explained to these disciples that this attempted murder of God was really God's eternal plan to save man, their hearts, they said, were warmed and they burned within them. Once again, as they had always learned from Christ, but found ways of forgetting, that God was their lover, God was the Savior, when they heard those words, their hearts burned with love, because those words impart to our hearts, our dark and sinful hearts, God's warm love for our sinful and fallen race. And in the breaking and the blessing of the bread, they recognized this man who had been preaching to them. They recognized it was no mere man, but it was the resurrected Lord, the Savior, Jesus Christ. The words of blessing over bread, witnessed along with the scriptures, made it so that their eyes, filled with the sight of Jesus, could recognize what they saw only by faith and by prayer and the breaking of the bread. It is my prayer for each of us on this joyous day of Easter, when our Lord rose from the dead and we commemorate it, that our hearts may also burn with the love of God that he has come to bring and to preach to us, so that our eyes may not be dull and dark and sullen and sulky like these disciples, but with the love of God burning in our hearts, our eyes might also burn to see God's grace, which is so abundantly given to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. As Christ met up with these disciples on the road to Emmaus on that first Easter Sunday, their hearts and their eyes were dark. What we believe colors everything that we see. If our hearts are cold and lonely and isolated, then when we look out around us, there is no warmth. There is no friendliness, there is no outstretched arm that invites us to have friendship and community, because with cold hearts, nothing that is warm around us registers. Why were the hearts of these disciples so cold? Jesus asks them why, this very question on the road. He says, why are you so downcast? And they replied, are you a stranger around these parts? Don't you know what happened? As if he didn't. It all happened to him. Don't you know about Jesus? He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one. We had hoped that he was the one who would redeem Israel. Why were they disappointed? Why were their hearts cold? Because Jesus had let them down. They expected that he was the one who would redeem Israel. And we in faith say, well, didn't he redeem Israel? Well, no, he had not redeemed Israel, not according to their judgment. They had not. It says in the Old Testament wisdom that there is a way that seems good to man, but that leads to destruction. And that's the way of the heart of these disciples. What did they have in mind about the Messiah? They thought that they would redeem Israel by making Israel valuable again. That instead of being a doormat to the nations and the superpowers around them, as Israel continues to be to this day, that Israel should be raised up somehow. That he, like a David, could take some spiritual weapon, like a shepherd's tool, like the sling, and slay Goliath, slay the Romans, and raise up the nation of Israel to its prime position among the nations, which it ought to. And so they had placed all of their hopes on that kind of redemption for the Messiah, and no wonder they were disappointed. Instead, this Messiah gets taken out. Instead of gaining the consensus and solidifying the nations, he had solidified the nation, but against him. And he had solidified the nation of the Jews and the Romans against him. Since Pontius Pilate, the people and the leaders all shouted and washed their hands and allowed that Christ to be crucified so ignominiously in a writhing and torturous death there upon the cross. And above him, that mocking sign, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. What kind of son of David is that? What kind of victory is that? And so their hearts were darkened with disappointment, as if Jesus had failed by going to the cross. Somehow, when Jesus had so frequently preached that he would suffer rejection and die, instead of taking those plans to heart, the disciples found a way of ignoring the very central message of Jesus Christ. And people still tend to do that today. Even when the message of Jesus and his salvation comes to the hearts of people, their hearts will not gravitate towards it. It goes over their heads. Instead of listening to that wonderful plan of love in God offering his Son to die for our sins, people's thoughts go all over the place. And they imagine all kinds of ideas about themselves and God while they let that word of God pass coldly through their hearts. It happened to these disciples before Jesus' death, and it still happens to Christians today that they do not catch that central message of God's love. That the cross is not defeat for Christ, but it is victory for Christ. And that means our ideas of redemption must be rebuked. Christ says to these disciples, "Oh, you are so slow to believe all that the Old Testament has preached about this Jesus Christ. You are so slow to believe it and to accept everything else. Stop it." And he must say that to each and every one of us. Our ideas of redemption, our ideas of what is important, our ideas of what God ought to be bringing into our lives are foolish and wrong because they are based on our material wants and needs. I want a better family. I want better relationships. I want a better job. I want glory here and now. But Christ says, "The cross, dear Christian, the cross, dear Christian, come to the cross, not to find advantages in this world that is passing away. Come for the true redemption. Come for the forgiveness of your sins. Because I love you much more than to give you a lot of money. I love you much more than to give you popularity and power in this world. I love you much more. I love you so much that I lay down my life for you. There is no other way that you can come into heaven, sinner, without your sins being redeemed, without your sins being paid for, without your confessing your evil before God. The darkness and coldness of your heart must be exposed in the warmth and the light and the love of God, which is so drastic that it sent his Son into this world, into our flesh, into our sin, into our death, into our darkness, into our coldness, to fill it with the love of God poured out for us on the cross of Jesus Christ our Lord. our coldness must be rebuked by Jesus, because it is our coldness that seems right to us. And there is a way under the sun that seems right to man but leads to destruction, and it must be rebuked because it is sin and darkness. But into the middle of that sin and darkness comes the light of the world, Jesus Christ, and it impacts our heart. But having such false faith and false hope and darkness and coldness rebuked, the cross of Jesus Christ ignites in our hearts and makes us burn with love, because that message of the cross brings into our dark hearts the igniting love of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit to us in our hearts. It says in this text, by the witness of the disciples themselves, before their eyes ever recognized Jesus, that their hearts burned within them. Why? Because God, who is burning love, speaks to people. God is speaking to you right now in order to illuminate your hearts with how much He loves you in Jesus Christ. We are like bad children who have been spanked and sent to our room, except that Christ is the one who has received that spanking for us. How glad a child is after he has been spanked for what he has done wrong to come into the loving arms of his parents. And that's the burning of the heart that these disciples had when Jesus, the resurrected Lord, came and told them, didn't you realize from the time of Adam and Eve? Didn't you realize through the time of Moses? Didn't you realize through the time of Isaiah? Didn't you realize all the way up to the time of John the Baptist and all the prophets that this is God's eternal burning love for you? That He comes and shares your misery and pain and lifts it upon His strong shoulders and lifts it off of you so that you might have joy. And we are reported here that after their hearts burned, they said, don't leave, Jesus. He made as if He was going to go on down the road beyond them, say, good night, it was nice talking with you. Did you see how those burning hearts would not let go of Jesus? They said, why don't you stay with us for a little while? And that's how hearts are when they hear the message of Jesus Christ. They just can't get enough from it. Can we hear it again? Can we hear it one more time? It's the same old story, but it's the story that I need. It's the story that I love. Won't you linger with me yet a while? And it almost sounds like the divine liturgy. After the gospel has been preached, then He breaks bread and distributes it to them, and their eyes are all of a sudden enlightened. Their hearts have been burning, and the burning heart enlightens their eyes. There's Jesus. He's there as He always was, breaking bread and blessing it and giving it to us so that we could be His family, so that we could be together with Him. That's the divine liturgy, that after we hear the sermon, Christ comes into our presence with His body and blood. And it's just like these disciples, we know He's there. Hosanna, Son of David, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. And for a brief second, the eyes of our faith glimpse Jesus is here. Jesus is breaking the bread with us. Jesus is giving us His body and blood in this blessed sacrament. If you have been cold towards Jesus and His word, how sad you have been in your life, and how sad you will end up. Christ rebukes your coldness, but He does that because He loves you. Be warmed by His love. Be indifferent and disappointed no longer. By the power of the Holy Spirit, may your heart burn with the love of Christ that preaches to you every time the gospel is preached into your ear and into your heart. And may you desire that He never depart from you. And may you recognize Him in the breaking of the bread under His blessing. Amen. And may the peace that gives us, that surpasses our understanding, then keep your hearts and your minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.